You're listening to WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City, streaming live and available on demand at WBAI.org. Coming up next, Good Morning Nueva York with me, your host, King Downing. Good morning. How are you feeling this morning? I'm feeling great. Days are getting a little bit longer. And also, happy Father's Day. Father's Day. Happy Black History Month. You see what was on my mind. So, it's a new day. We're starting off. Welcome to Good Morning Nueva York. I'm your host, King Downing. We'll be here till 7 a.m. Michael G. Haskins is engineering. If you're waking up now, rise and shine with us. If you're already up, stay with us. And if you're one of the many overnight or essential workers just getting home, let us tuck you in. Don't forget, Demand More in 24. We opened up with Sac Passé by the Welfare Poets. There's going to be a Haitian theme as part of our Black History Month celebration today. And then, of course, our theme song, Feeling Good, by Andy Bay and the Bay Sisters. We're going to tell you some about our program today. So in the first half, an art show in Harlem opens up this week. One participant continues her family's tradition of painting by taking their bold, inventive use of color and combining with inspirations from across the African diaspora. She joins us this morning. We'll show you where you can see her work, even as she speaks, and attend the upcoming show, and we'll take your calls. In the second half, Happy Black History Month continues. As it winds down, we continue the celebration by honoring two of the great minds, great advocates for the people of the Black diaspora. They're both being remembered at a special event that features the son of one of these giants, a giant in his own right. He joins us this morning with the organizer of this Black History Month event. It's free. We'll give you all the details and we'll take your calls. so stay tuned. But first, weather and transit. 33 degrees, clear, high of 40, low of 25 for the morning. 36 degrees, sunny, no rain. Afternoon, 39 degrees, sunny, no rain. Evening, 33 degrees, clear, 1% chance of rain. On to transit, because of the holiday, President's Day, look up the five Negro presidents if you want to celebrate President's Day. It's all on a Saturday schedule. Most of the trains will be running on a Saturday slash holiday schedule. So go to mta.info for the latest in your travel. And now on with the program. Good morning, Nueva York. I'm your host, King Downing. We will be here till 7 a.m. Michael G. Haskins is engineering in the background. And as I told you, because of Black History Month, we are in a Haitian theme, and we're going to do that in some ways in both halves of the program. And so you're listening to Haiti Cherie by the Haiti Troubadours. And we're going to give credit for that song to our upcoming guest. Let me tell you a little bit about her. An art show in Harlem opens this week. One participant continues her family's tradition of painting by taking their bold, inventive use of color and combining it with inspirations from across the African diaspora. She joins us this morning. We'll show you where you can see her work, even while she's speaking, and we'll tell you about the upcoming show that she'll be participating in. We'll take your calls, too, so stay with us. The show itself is the Harlem Fine Arts Show, and that's going to be held at the Glass House, 660 12th Avenue, New York City. It starts Friday the 23rd, and it runs till Monday the 27th of February, that is. And I am so happy to have on with us Chantal Guess, the visual artist. Good morning, Chantal.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm great. What about you?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thank you.
So thank you for this song. Haiti Cherie is going to be part of the rotation here whenever we deal with any Haitian topics. So now why would I be playing a Haitian song in your honor?
Well, I am actually I'm Haitian. I was born in Port-au-Prince, Haiti. So it's my honor to hear a song from my country.
And tell us the origins of your being an artist.
I came to America when I was about 11 years old, and I had two of my uncles. They were both painters. One of them was a folk painter. He painted bright colors of the Haitian scenery, such as the mountains, the sea, and beautiful, brilliant colors. And my other uncle, he studied the figure. He loved capturing, like, life on canvas, very realistic work. So since, you know, they were my babysitter, I would just sit there and I would draw with them. And that's how I think I fell into art.
So I want folks to be able to take a look at it, even as you're describing it. So tell us where our, what I call our play-at-home listeners, can see your work even as you're speaking right now.
Well, there are a few places. You can also go on my website, which is Art, the number 2, and the letter C. So it's art2c.net. And you can also go to the Boricua College, where my paintings are up there. I've had them up there. I exhibit up there for about a month now. And also it'll be showing at the Harlem's Fine Art Show on this upcoming weekend from Friday to Sunday. So I'll be there all day if you want to stop by and come have a look.
Okay, and we'll give that information out again. So I'm on art2c.net now, and there's a picture of you standing in front of 2 of your works. And how would I see the others? One is the view from the base of a tree going straight up. That one's great. And the other is tall bushes or tall branches without leaves on them. Can you take me through the site now? And so I'm looking at that, and where would I see your work? It has a bio about you.
For the moment, I normally show different types of paintings.
I'm sorry. I'm on the Art2C website, and I see a picture of you in front of 2 paintings. Is there a way so I can guide our folks? Is there a way to see more of them on R2C, or should we go to another link?
Oh, yeah. So if you go on the top area, you'll see 3 lines, and you'll see where it says home and new and upcoming shows. And, you know, you'll see portraits and landscapes. So you'll be able to see all of my landscape paintings on there.
Oh, I see. Okay, so folks, if you're doing this, go in the upper right corner, click on the row of bars, and click on portraits or landscapes. And let's look at portraits now. So describe your work, the faces, and then your use of color, and anything else you want to talk about.
The first painting is I painted it with oil. And so I sometimes go through periods where I use just the color blues, like different tones of blues, reds, or whatever the color may be. So I try and stick in that theme, depending on how I'm feeling. So the first painting you're looking at is kind of a portrait where it's just pushing everything away. it's really kind of talking about life and how sometimes it gets overwhelming. So I try to it and meditate and just think of a subject, and I just thought about a portrait where my hands are out in the open and it's just pushing everything away and sort of like emerging into the paint. And I choose a color red just because it's just so sometimes it can be, life can be bring you to a boiling point. So I try to captivate that, you know, on with different colors. Different shades of red. So that would be like the first the painting. And the second one, did you want me to go?
No, I went back up to the upper corner for those of you who are playing at home and click on that, and then click on landscapes. And this theme of a light forest, I might put it. Describe that first painting. First of all, is there a name for it? And tell us what I'm seeing with all of these trees.
So the red trees are the brown trees. The first painting would be it was sort of like I call it the burning tree. Basically, it's just during the time where the sun is setting. So you can see the colors red, yellow, and brown. So I tried to capture also the season, autumn. So it was inspired by the foliage when I go upstate and I see when the leaves are turning. So I just try to think of an idea and then I try to paint it, push it on like with the trees. If you see like the orange. And when I see the leaves and I'm thinking, oh, my God, I need to figure out a way to transform that. So that's why I use the background. You can see the different colors as if you're walking through the passage when the leaves are falling during autumn. So that's where the inspiration of this tree came from.
That's great. So you've actually given a sense of motion around the tree. And I really like the perspective of you painting from the base, close to the base of the tree and looking up. That's an unusual perspective.
Yeah, I was thinking like a squirrel. When I was doing that, I was thinking that I was a squirrel. So I was looking up.
So you're listening to WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City, streaming live and available on demand at WBAI.org. The program is Good Morning Nueva York. I'm your host, King Downing. We will be here until 7 a.m. Michael G. Haskins is engineering in studio. And we're speaking with visual artist, painter Chantal Guess. And her works are being shown starting on Friday the 23rd. As part of the Harlem Fine Arts Show, and that's going to be held at the Glass House, 660 12th Avenue in New York City. The show runs until Monday, February 27th. So go on down there and check out your work. And meanwhile, if you would like to see some of it while you're sitting in the comfort of wherever you are right now, you can go to Art, the number 2C, very simple, A-R-T, the number 2, letter C, .net. And look up Chantal, C-H-A-N-T-A-L, Guess, G-E-S-S-E, and look at her great work. And hopefully that will inspire you to participate. So we're going to open up our phone lines now. Remember, it's Black History Month, 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877. You have any reflections on Black History Month? You have any reflections on art? Are you an artist? What are you doing this Black History Month, if anything? Are you Haitian? Do you want to recommend some Haitian music for me to play? All of these and any kinds of things we can talk about at 212-209-2877. 212-209-2877. The WBAI, Good Morning Nueva York listener line, is brought to you by our members and our sponsors, meaning people like you, our WBAI buddies who have pledged to make a monthly donation of as little as $15 a month to support this 60-plus-year-old listener-sponsored, community-led, and oftentimes activist-produced and host radio shows. We don't bring on the journalists like some networks want to be safe, and they don't even bring in the activists. They bring in those who represent the corporations, and they bring their lobbyists on. They bring the military representatives, but they don't bring the activists. They bring reporters to talk about the activists, because who knows? They might raise their fist up in the air and say Black Lives Matter or Free Haiti. So we don't do that, and we are dependent on you to support us to be able to keep doing it. Another way to support us is, and to support the listener line, is by becoming a member for as little as $25. Larger donations from you get larger gifts from us. Books, music, films, health products. We have all sorts of things. Go to give, the number 2, WBAI.org. Give, number 2, WBAI.org. Make your donation. Call 212-209-2950, the pledge line, and become a supporter of this station or renew your support. And when we talk about art, you know I've had so many artists on this program, so many visual artists, and I continue to do it as you hear. And also, this station and I myself have supported Haiti. You should have seen the coverage. If you go back far enough, remember the coverage following the twists and turns of Aristide's movement, his election, his being forced out, his being brought back by the U.S., and then being forced out again. And the U.S. supported the military moves towards him the second time he came into office. And guess why? The reason was that he demanded $21 billion from France and from the U.S. and British banks for the reparations that were paid from 1806 to 1947. Can you imagine reimbursing France for the value, your own value as slaves, not including the value of all that you produced, and then the British and U.S. banks for those next 100 years were putting out loans with massive interest in order to for them to be able to make the payment. So all of them are liable. And when he raised the demand for $21 billion, that's when he was removed the second time. So that history has all been fully covered here, and that's what you get when you become part of this station. So let's turn back to our conversation. The phone line is open again. Like I said, 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877. So we have a caller. So before we get back to Chantel, guests, let's take our call. Caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from? Your question or comment?
Good morning. It's Judith from the Upper West Side.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Saturday. Yeah, this Saturday at 6 o'clock in the evening at St. Mary's Church in Harlem, 126th Street and Old Broadway, we're going to have a Mumia event and catch up on his health situation, which is horrible. And we're going to hear a wonderful musical composition that he made and he created, he composed. And there'll be refreshments, and I do hope people can come.
And where can people get more information about the event?
I guess if you just Google.
Oh, come on. Judith, when you come on with these announcements, try to see if you can at least direct folks. But obviously, you can go to your search engine, put in Mumia Abu-Jamal. That's who she's talking about, the former Black Panther and long-held political prisoner, still having health issues and, of course, having legal issues. So just put in Mumia Abu-Jamal. Thanks for the notice, Judith.
Thank you. Love and blessings.
All right, so let's get back to our guest. So, Chantel, tell us about the show at Glass House, and we'll give the address and information a little bit later.
Okay. The show at the Glass House will be focusing on my experience, you know, growing up in Harlem, and it's going to be about, of course, brilliant colors and also about hair and braids. And it's showing, these paintings will be showing the process of hair braiding and how it slows this passage of time. So at some point, every, you know, person in Harlem who has lived in Harlem has entered an African hair salon to get their hair done. Getting your hair can be, you know, painful for the first few days. But, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, it's just, you know, like just a great thing. Just free yourself from not having to do anything when it comes to fixing your hair. So it saves you a lot of time. So these paintings actually have braided. I've braided each individual hair. So you'll see about six or seven paintings. And it's about a lot of different women and different hairstyles. And it also shares the history of hair braiding, and you can read that in my bio. The materials that I've used for these hair braidings are jute rope. It's like eco-friendly, very realistic, and similar to like real braids. I don't know if you've heard about jute ropes, but it's it used to be used a long time ago. An ancient Egyptian used it as food. But somehow now we use it as material. So I choose jute rope because it's really comforting to use, and it helps the meditation process after I do a painting, and it helps me physically to relate to my art in a different type of way. So so these portraits, there's about seven or eight of them. It's about the process of when you go and get your hair done in the salon, and as soon as you enter the African hair salon, you'll see like everybody, you know, interacting. It's like a little, a village, you know, And these paintings are so inspiring that I try and capture that moment on the canvas.
So did you say that in your paintings you've actually incorporated braiding by using jute rope into the work itself?
Yeah, if you go on my website, when you see the new and upcoming shows, you will see the braid paintings. These are portraits of women with braids.
Okay. Tell us the website again so I can send people there.
Yeah. So art, A-R-T, the number 2, and the letter C. So it's art2c.net. And if you go on new and upcoming shows, you'll see the portraits of different women wearing different types of braids.
Nice. So that's art, A-R-T, the number 2, C.net, where we were earlier. I didn't realize that section was there, and we can take a look at those. So you can go there and look at her designation for upcoming shows. So we have another caller, and we'll take that call now. Caller, good morning. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Your question or comment?
Yes. Well, brief statement. In regards to hairstyles, as I understand, and I mean, or designs, represent a culture of a people. And basically all women in, or even the men in a particular nation, African, they wear a certain hairstyle. So it's part of a culture. It's not, and culture, of course, is art, but it has a meaning. It stands for something. You had mentioned about Haiti and the situation in which Haiti is now in. And I would just like to state, I know that the U.S., I think it was in 1914 up until 1939, they occupied Haiti, and they, for safekeeping, they took the money from the, Haitian bank and brought it to New York City for safekeeping. And I was wondering, has that money been returned? What interest has it grown? Over $500,000 at that time.
That's a good question. I will look into that. I will look into that. Oh, we got to wrap it up here, but thank you for calling. I will look into that, and then we will see what the answer is, because reparations are going to be an upcoming topic, and I will make sure that the folks who come on to talk about that also include that issue. So we've got to wrap things up, Chantel. I want to thank you for joining us. This is Chantel Guest, visual artist. You can see her work at art2c.net. That last name, G-E-S-S-E, art2c.net. And she is going to be showing her work at the Harlem Fine Arts Show. And that will be from this Friday, February 23rd, through this Monday, the following Monday, February 27th. The Glass House is at 660 12th Avenue. And you can look up either Harlem Fine Arts Show or Glass House to get more information about that. Thank you. Your work is very inspiring. And I had looked at your portraits of women, beautiful, and didn't realize about your landscapes. And so thank you for joining us. Look forward to hearing more about your work.
Thank you for inviting me. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay, folks, we're going to be going to some messages. We're going to be continuing our Black History Month celebration by looking at two of the great minds and advocates for the people of the Black diaspora when we come back. So don't go anywhere.
WBAI, New York, New York, New York, New York,
We're the New Orleans Jazz Vipers at WBAI, New York City.
If you're filing taxes, you may be eligible for some pretty unique deductions. For instance, there are write-offs for clarinet lessons, Or if you hired your cat for pest control, apparently there's a tax break for that too. But if you don't think you'd qualify for pet-related deductions, you could just donate a vehicle to WBAI. It's easy, free, and tax-deductible. Here's how it works. Call 866-WBAI-CAR. That's 866-922-4227. Or complete the online form at wbai.org/donateyourcar. From there, our vehicle donation support team will take care of everything, including the pickup, sale, and provide you with a donation receipt. If your vehicle sells for more than $500, you'll also receive a 1098C tax form. So, instead of writing off your cat patrol, you can support programs like the Cat Radio Cafe by donating a car, truck, RV, or boat. Call 866-WBAI-CAR or visit wbai.org/donateyourcar to get started.
Hi, this is Bobby Humphrey. You're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM.
And ships minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit, but my hand was made strong by the hand of the Almighty. We forward in this generation triumphantly. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs, redemption songs. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but a woman.
In the background, Redemption Song. Welcome back to Good Morning Nueva York. I'm your host, King Downing. We will be here till 7 a.m. Michael G. Haskins is engineering in studio. We're playing Redemption Song because it's got a deep connection to what we're going to be talking about next. Happy Black History Month. As it winds down, we continue the celebration by honoring two of the great minds, great advocates for the people of the Black and African diaspora. They're both being remembered at a special event that features the son of one of these giants, a giant in his own right. He joins us this morning along with the organizer of this Black History Month event. It's free. We'll give you the details and we'll take your calls. So stay tuned. So the song Redemption Song was based on one of these two giants, and that giant is Marcus Garvey. and the song where it says emancipate yourself from mental slavery, none but ourselves can free our minds, comes from a speech given by Marcus Garvey in 1937 in Canada and published in his Black Man magazine. We are going to emancipate ourselves from mental slavery because whilst others might free the body, none but ourselves can free the mind. Mind is your only ruler, sovereign. The man who is not able to develop and use his mind is bound to be the slave of the other man who uses his mind. So joining us, well, first let me tell you that the event itself is the 12th annual Marcus Garvey Kwame Nkrumah Lecture Series, and that's being held Thursday, February 22nd from 11:30 to 1 p.m. at Essex County College in Smith Hall. We'll give more details about that later. And the keynote speaker is Dr. Julius Garvey, the second son of and youngest son of Marcus Garvey, who we are trying to connect to and get on the phone right now. So hopefully he will join us and we'll be able to get him right into the conversation. But meanwhile, well, who we do have is Akhil Kalfani, who is the director of the Africana Institute and associate professor of sociology at Essex County College, and he is the organizer of this event. Good morning, Akhil Kalfani, and welcome to Good Morning Nueva York.
Good morning, Brother King Downing. How are you doing today?
I could be better if we could get Julius Garvey on, and I don't know whether you're able to multitask because while you're on the phone, but I'm hoping that we're able to connect to him. But tell us about the legacy of Marcus Garvey, and then we'll get into the event you have in mind.
Yes, well, the legacy of Marcus Garvey is obviously a great man who was someone who pushed the envelope for people of African descent, who woke up folks, and you talk about freeing yourself from mental slavery on Bob Marley's song, that Garvey was all about that. He was about that we have to think differently so that we can do differently, and we can't wait for other people to do for us. And so he, you know, pushed the idea that African people or Black people had the power to transform their realities. And he would do that. He had a nursing corps. He had schools. He had other kinds of businesses and had thousands of people engaged in those enterprises. And his newspaper went all around the world. And so because of that, he had the largest African organization that still to this day, I don't know an organization that is as large as Garvey's organization and as international as Garvey's organization, where he had chapters in England, South Africa, and South America, and the United States, and the islands. And those brothers who were working on those ships were the ones who would take the paper around and spread the word, and it worked to create this idea. And he was somebody who lived was larger than life, and his ideas were, you know, back to Africa and the Africa for the African, and then he came up with these symbols to change our thinking, the red, black, and green flag, and that we had the power to think and do for self and business for ourselves, and so I think those are the things that he left for us that were monumental for us to really create a space that we changed the way we did things and the way we saw ourselves in relationship to those who were our oppressors.
Let's take a listen to the voice of Marcus Garvey. This is an excerpt from a speech he gave in Harlem, New York in 1924. Let's listen.
For 250 years, we have struggled under the burden and rigors of slavery. We were maimed, we were brutalized, we were ravaged in every way. We are men. We have hopes, we have passions, we have feelings, we have desires just like any other race. The cry is raised all over the world of Canada for the Canadians, of America for the Americans, of England for the English, of France for the French, of Germany for the Germans. Do you take it unreasonably? We, the blacks of the world, should raise the cry of Africa for the Africans? Yeah. Yeah. The Negro is the man. We represent a new Negro. His back is not yet against the wall. We do not want his back against the wall because that would be a peculiar and desperate position. We do not want him there. It is because of this that we are asking for fair compromise. Where the Belgians have control of the Belgian Congo, which they cannot use, they have not the resources to develop, nor the intelligence. The French have more territory than they can develop. There are certain parts of Africa in which they cannot live at all. So it is for you to come together and give us a United States of Africa.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We are not going to be a race without a country. God never intended it, and we are not going to abuse God's confidence in us as men. We are men, human beings, capable of the same acts as any other race, possessing under fair circumstances the same intelligence as any other race. Now, Africa's been sleeping, not dead, only sleeping. Today, Africa's walking around not only on our feet, but on our brains. You can enslave us, was done for 300 years, the bodies of men. You can shackle the hands of men. You can shackle the feet of men. You can imprison the bodies of men. But you cannot shackle or imprison the minds of men. Dive down, black men, and take. Reach up, black men and women, and pull all nature's knowledge to you. Turn ye around and make a conquest of everything north and south, east and west. And then when you have wrought well, you will have merited God's blessing. You will have become God's chosen people. And naturally you will become leaders of the world. And as you bow down to the white man today, so will other races bow down to you and call you a race of masters because of the superiority of your mind and your achievements. Because no race has the last word on culture and on civilization. They do not know what we are capable of. They do not know what we are thinking. They're thinking in terms of dreadnoughts, battleships, aeroplanes, submarines. You know what we're thinking about? That is our own private business. So give us credit for being able to use our minds. And with people becoming conscious of themselves, determined to use their minds, you do not know to what extent they can go. Liberate the minds of men, and ultimately you will liberate the bodies of men. We love the white race, not for social fellowship, but for the common brotherhood of God intended we should live. What satisfaction can anyone get in being happy and see his brother wallowing in filth, dirt, and disease? How can you be happy living in luxury and your brother's living in disease, and then when you try to help the one out of the disease, the subtle culprit talks about disloyalty? Black men of Carthage, black men of Ethiopia, of Timbuktu, of Alexandria, gave the light of civilization to this world. Ethiopia shall stretch forth her hands unto God, and princes shall come out of Egypt. Because classes, nations, races have been quite quiet for over four centuries. Who has merely borne abuse, insult, humiliation? Whose forbearance can only be compared to the prophet Job, has likewise lifted his bowed head and raised it up to God's skies and cried out, I am a man, and demand a man's chance and a man's treatment in this world. That I shall teach the black man, I shall teach the black man to see beauty in his own kind and stop bleaching his skin and otherwise looking like what he's not. Whoa. Back in the days of slavery, race mixture, miscegenation had occurred because the African woman had no protection from the slave master. Therefore, there is no need today for black people to themselves freely continue a practice that smacks so much of slavery. Our critics say that the race problem will be solved through higher education, through better education, than black and white will come together. That day will never happen until Africa is redeemed. Because if those who like W.E.B. Du Bois believe that the race problem will be solved in America through higher education, they will walk between now and eternity and never see the problem solved. God made man lord of his creation, gave him possession and ownership of the world. And you have been so darned lazy that you have allowed the other fellow to run away with the whole world, and now he's bluffing you and telling you that the world belongs to him and that you have no part in it. I don't have to apologize to anybody for being black, because God Almighty knew exactly what he was doing when he made me black. If black people knew their glorious past, then they would be more inclined to respect themselves. Yes, you heard of Johnny Walker Red and black. Well, he had his adversities, but he's still going strong.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Well, I intend with your help and God's grace to continue. Because my work has only just begun. And future generations shall have in their hands the guide by which they shall know the sins of the 20th century. I know, and I know you too believe in time, but we shall wait patiently for 200 years, if need be, to face our enemies through our posterity. When my enemies are satisfied, in life I shall come back, or in death even to serve you as I served before. In life I shall be the same, in death I shall be a terror to the foes of the
Marcus Mosiah Garvey was not playing. He was no joke. You hear the fire in the spirit in that. You're listening to WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City, streaming live and available on demand at WBAI.org. The program is Good Morning, Nueva York. I'm your host, King Downing. We will be here until 7 a.m. Michael G. Haskins is engineering. And we are honoring, as part of Black History Month, Marcus Garvey, and one more giant that we're going to talk about in a moment, who are all going to be the topic of celebration at the 12th annual Garvey / the other person we're going to talk about in just a second celebration on Friday, February 22nd from 11:30 to 1 p.m. free at Essex County College Smith Hall on Market Street in Newark, New Jersey. We're going to open up the phone lines now. If you have any questions, reflections on Marcus Garvey, on Black History Month, on anything that you would like to talk about, what did that speech do to you if you have never heard Garvey speak before? So our phone lines are open, 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877. The WBAI, Good Morning, Nueva York, listener line, brought to you by the members and buddies / sponsors of WBAI. The members are people who have made as little as a $25 contribution to the station to join and support the work. Larger donations get greater gifts from us: music, films, books, health products. Go to give2wbai.org, give the number 2wbai.org, and look at the selection of gifts that you may give, you may get with our thanks for your donation. So please do that and become part of the station. The listener line is also brought to you by the buddies of WBAI, monthly sponsors who have transferred every month as little as $15 from their accounts to WBAI's accounts. And where else can you get the kind of information that you were able to get about Haiti during the Aristide crisis? Live, extensive coverage from Democracy Now! And many of the producers and guests here, and even information about the history. There is no place else in this area where Marcus Garvey's voice and his legacy is shared and spoken of as much. And we have a Haitian programming here, and many of the other producers do that. And that's what your donations do, power keeping this legacy alive. And I spoke earlier about the looting of Haiti that took place, just reparations from after independence all the way to 1947 it took to pay off the reparations. And then only until a couple of years ago to pay off the loans that the U.S. and British banks forced Haiti to take out to pay off the reparations. And Aristide was removed for demanding $21 billion in reparations. He was one of the early and one of the highest ranked people in the world to make that call. And that struggle and that conversation continues, as you know, because you listen here and this is where you hear about it. So please support the station. So we're going to turn back to the information on this lecture series with the organizer of the event, Akhil Khalfani. We're sorry that we weren't able to connect with Julius Garvey, surgeon and medical professor and giant in his own right, and son of Marcus Garvey. We'll get him back at some other time. But Akhil Khalfani is the director of the Africana Institute and associate professor of sociology at Essex County College, and is organizing this event. Now, the other half of this presentation is on the legacy of Kwame Nkrumah, who listeners know here is one of my favorites. in the struggle for African independence. Tell us about Kwame Nkrumah.
Yes, well, Nkrumah was the first and, let's start there. He was the first president of Ghana after its independence was achieved in 1957. And he was a staunch Pan-Africanist. And he followed the footsteps of Marcus Garvey. And he went to Lincoln University, had some affiliation with the University of Pennsylvania, and he learned a lot from talk about is the ideas about Pan-Africanism. Oftentimes people get those ideas from things that happen in the diaspora. And so Nkrumah, was always said that that Ghana is not free until Africa is free. And so that he had the same idea as Garvey. And so when we were first coming with the idea of the Garvey and Nkrumah lecture series, the first brother that came to speak was a professor from Lincoln University, the director of the Africana studies program down at Lincoln University, Dr. Zizwe Poe, and he's a Nkrumahist. And he wrote a book on Nkrumah, and I had him come talk about Nkrumah's legacy. And
Akil, I'm going to jump in here now because our time is tight. I want to make sure we get a caller in. So, okay. Caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your question or comment?
Hey, King, it's Russell up in White Plains. And I'd like to ask the professor his take on Kanye West and whether he's an inheritor of Marcus Garvey's fiery rhetoric. And let me make it clear, Kanye's a person like Sinead O'Connor that cannot be bought. They are not whores. Thank you very much.
Okay, there you go.
I mean, I don't want to detract too much from Garvey with Kanye West. I don't think Kanye West necessarily embodies Garveyism, and I'll leave it at that.
Okay, so I think here's what we're going to do. I'm going to thank you now, and we're going to go work, and I'm going to give the information about the Garvey and Nkrumah lecture, and then we're going to go out with the words of Kwame Nkrumah. They're so important, I want to make sure we hear them. So thank you, Akil Khalfani of the Africana Institute and Associate Professor of Sociology at Essex County College. The event is the Garvey Nkrumah Lecture Series, the 12th annual, and it's happening on February 22nd from 11:30 to 1 p.m. at Essex County College, Smith Hall on Market Street. You can go to the Essex County College website and get more information, or you can email me, king@wbai.org. And we're going to go out with Nkrumah's speech. And you take a listen to it because it predicted the African awakening. And this was made at a conference in Accra, Ghana, that featured freedom fighters and those who had gotten independence in Africa. Let's take a listen and listen. Have a great week. See you next week.
Fellow freedom fighters, comrades and friends, long live African freedom fighters. Long live African independence. Long live your struggle. And long live African unity. Here is a phenomenon against which all African freedom fighters must be on their guard and resist to the utmost. Even though I appreciate the difficulties facing us, I must admit, I find it strange to watch some of us returning willingly to the colonialist fold. This time, they don't even have the excuse of being forced to subject themselves to foreign domination. It makes one wonder, why so much effort and sacrifice and so many lives were given up to the achievement of independence in the first place, if it can only be so quickly and easily surrendered. We must begin to build immediately our own continental common market. For it is easy for anyone who studies the common market organization closely to realize that the common market is aimed at harnessing the African countries to satisfy the profit lust of the imperialist bloc and to prevent us from following an independent neutralist policy. It is easy to see that the imperialists and the colonialists are determined to retain the African countries in the position of suppliers of cheap raw materials. If we do not resist this threat, and if we throw in our lot with the common market, we shall doom the economy of Africa to a state of perpetual subjection to the economy of Western Europe. This will, of course, hinder the industrialization of our young African states. It is impossible to think of economic development and national independence without possessing an unfettered capacity for maintaining a strong industrial power. The activities of the common market are therefore fraught with dangerous political and economic consequences for the independent African states. The organization constitutes an attempt to replace the old system of colonial exploitation by a new system of collective colonialism, which will be stronger and more dangerous than the old evils we are striving to liquidate from our continent. This is another reason why we should come together in a unified African economic plan, which, operating on a continental scale, can make a solid attack on the imperialist domination in Africa. We should, without delay, aim at the creation of a joint African military command. There is little wisdom in our present separate effort to build up and maintain defense forces, which, in any case, would be ineffective in a major world conflict. If we examine this problem realistically, we would ask, which single African state could protect itself against an imperialist aggressor? And how much more difficult this would be when some states are allowing the imperialists to maintain bases on their territories. I have already referred to the military forces which South Africa is raising and the danger it poses for the new African states and the struggle of those still in chains. Only our unity can provide us with anything like adequate protection. Those problems can best be met within a unified Africa, and it should be possible in the higher reaches of our endeavor to devise a constitutional structure which will secure the objectives I have outlined, and yet preserve the sovereignty of each of the countries joining the Union. Countries within the Union will naturally maintain their own constitutions, continue to use their own national emblems and national anthems and other symbols and paraphernalia of sovereignty. Regional associations and territorial groupings can only be other forms of balkanization unless they are conceived within the framework of a continental union. There are existing models which we can modify or adapt to our pattern. The United States of America, the Soviet Union, India and China have proved the efficacy of unions embracing large stretches of land and population. Long live African freedom fighters.
WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org on the web. Good morning, and thank you for tuning in. That was African Awakening, Kwame Nkrumah, on Good Morning Nueva York with King Downing. Right now,